Welcome to Nourish and Align with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. Love you, they love listening to you, and today we're going to be talking about food and nutrition and women who don't eat enough. And we see this quite often, and I've actually prepared myself with some questions. So the first one is, like, we often see women like not eating enough, and I think it comes from a message we got when we were younger to be skinny and to be healthy. If you are often dieting or following a meal plan that's maybe unhealthy. Yeah. But from your experience, what is one of the main reasons women undereat, not realizing that it affects their energy, their mood, etc.?
I mean, in practice, that's probably one of the biggest things I see, is that people are just not eating enough, specifically women. I can put it down to that most women are incredibly busy, and so we just undereat unintentionally, and I see that quite often. We're just so busy. But I think more than that is diet culture has also been a big part of, you know, skip meals, and eating really small meals means that you're going to lose weight, and it also means that you're very disciplined, which actually backfires, which we can talk about the consequence of that as well. But then also a big part of it is fear of food. There is a lot of misinformation, as you know, on social media, that carbohydrates are bad or fats make you fat. And so, of course, all of that impacts your eating habits. When I see patients and we do their nutritional assessment and we go through what they are eating every single day, when I say they are not eating enough, what I actually mean is they're not getting enough protein, they're not getting enough fiber, they're not getting enough vegetables. So they may be eating way more than they need, but when I talk about not eating enough, it's really about what nutrition are you getting in on a daily basis. And majority of the time, that's not the case. We're not eating enough protein, we're not eating enough fats, we're not eating enough fiber, we're not eating enough veggies.
I think that is, we often say that people sometimes follow, they're eating an energy dense diet, like there's lots of food and energy, but nutrient poor. So it's the typical hot chips, which is energy dense, but very low in nutrients, you know, compared to a wholesome plate of nourishing foods. Exactly. But I mean, I have to agree that the diet culture and the social media space has created such a fear around food. And I mean, I know for us, we read articles, we have a critical lens, but even sometimes for us, it's hard to sift through, okay, what is this actually telling me? How do I apply it? And I think people aren't enjoying food anymore. We're not.
But I also think that it's so much more than that. I mean, I see a lot of patients with hormonal conditions like PCOS or endometriosis. And usually that population of patient has an increased risk for disordered eating or eating disorders. And so I see them and they come to me and they say, well, I haven't been eating carbohydrates for the last month. I'm still not losing weight. I feel terrible. And I'm like, oh, in that population patient, fiber becomes so important. And so it's so much more than just misinformation. It leads to these disordered eating patterns that actually impacts your health even more so.
Just to follow on that, so if we think about how we this disordered eating pattern, what are some of the tips you have, or how do you start? Because to get women's mindset to shift from eating for my weight or weight loss to eating for nourishment, how do we eat again to enjoy food and to nourish our bodies? Not this I don't know, disordered way of thinking about food we have.
I think people often relate being skinny to being very healthy. And so often being skinny could also mean being underfueled or being stressed or having your hormones be all over the place. And so the goal really is to eat for energy and function and not to be as skinny as you possibly can. I always tell my patients as well, if you don't eat, you're really going to struggle with energy. And like I've said before, the common symptom that my patients struggle with is energy. Kirby, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I've got brain fog, I'm not able to remember things. And I always say the only energy you're ever going to get is from the food you eat. So if you're eating one meal a day or you're eating two meals a day, you're never going to reach your nutritional requirements. And of course, that's going to have a big impact when it comes to hormones, hormone production, depending on what phase of life you're in. So instead of focusing on, oh, let me eat as little as I possibly can to lose weight, we really need to be thinking of what can we eat to be able to get enough or feel energized and be able to function on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think we see that often, and I can sometimes fall trapped to that. When you're busy reading something, or you're stopping to listen to the new nutrition expert who might not even be the expert, and then I have to, and I'm like, let me filter that through my critical lens. But not everyone obviously has that. So I'm glad we're having this conversation, and that is why you are on social media, so that we can get the positive messages out there. You mentioned something earlier about hormonal balance, and you often work with women who sometimes have these imbalances in their hormones. But let's talk about that. We need to eat enough because food supports hormones, and it's not talked about often enough how our food, what we nourish ourselves with, actually support hormonal balance. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so when we are looking at food, if you are having an incredibly low energy intake because you're just not eating enough or you're skipping meals, you can suppress thyroid hormones. Now, the thyroid controls so much. It controls your menstrual cycle, it controls cholesterol, it controls the rate at which you heal, it controls your body temperature, it just controls so much. So your thyroid needs that energy to send the appropriate signals. And so if we are not eating enough, that's going to affect your menstrual cycle. That's going to affect fertility in terms of poor ovulation or skipping menstrual cycles. And that becomes huge in terms of not only hormones, but nutrient deficiencies and. It's just a long list. And so what people don't understand is the consequences of under-eating for a very long time actually affect hormone production. And so not only that, it also affects your metabolism. So if you think, well, in my 20s, I had two meals a day and I was able to sustain my weight for a while, and all of a sudden I'm 50 years old and I'm eating these two meals, but you've noticed that you are picking up weight. It's what we see in practice. It's that metabolic rate slowing down because your body adapts to less food, which means you are burning less energy, and we don't want to burn less energy. So we want to eat more to speed up that metabolism. And I think that concept people are not able to wrap their head around because you're telling me I need to eat more to lose weight, but the body requires so much energy to be able to lose.
Yeah, and people don't seem to know that. And so this is an important conversation, especially now for me. Like my podcast obviously targets women over 40, and that's huge hormonal shift. That's a huge midlife shift. And then we see people
100%.
panicking because they're gaining more weight. And then automatically the things like, insulin resistance, your risk for diabetes, your risk for heart disease. And then there's this fear that sets in about food, and then they go into restrictive eating. So what you're saying is like so important.
It's so important. I mean, I know that during the hormonal transition, when estrogen starts to decline, us female, we have an increased risk for type 2 diabetes because estrogen was so important in that glucose uptake. We know that we have an increased risk for cardiovascular disease, increased risk for bone issues. So there is, we need to use nutrition in that time. It's so important to make sure that we're eating enough of the right things. Obviously, before would be fantastic, but during that period, it's even more so important. And so I find that if patients understand how to eat, what to eat, when to eat in their 20s, 30s, going through that hormonal transition won't be as daunting because there's too many changes happening.
And I feel women, we don't have this, actually have this conversation enough. And we don't find medical practitioners. I'm very happy lots of them are waking up to this now, and this message is actually getting a lot of attention. But we don't focus a lot on the nutrition aspect. And what we do is we over-medicate women. And so now we've got lots of women in their 50s who are on so much, like you're on cholesterol lowering meds, you're on blood pressure lowering meds, you're on glucose controlling meds, then you're on anti-anxiety meds. And when I see someone and I'm like, they feel awful, and I'm like, you know, now I can't even tell what it is because you're on five different medications, they all have side effects, and no one has supported you with information.
And you know, sometimes it's so sad because when a patient is presented with all those medications that they're on, and then we check their nutrients and we check the iron and the vitamin B12 and the zinc and the vitamin D, most of the time they are so depleted. And just the symptoms or the consequence of that nutrient deficiency is also causing the mood fluctuations and the sugar cravings and the constipation and the brain fog. And so there's so much we can do in terms of nutrition. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but it really is the foundation.
And I like what you said. We're not saying it's the end and be all. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we are trying to look at things holistically. And that for me is an important word. And we've moved away from that in healthcare, which makes me very sad, because now we've got like these 15-minute sessions and we just want to give you something for your symptoms. And we aren't getting to roots of what is actually happening in the body. And so what you're mentioning about holistic care, that nutrition is actually such an important component, and started early enough, it can help you.
Important. I wish that we got taught nutrition in school, actually, because then we wouldn't be having all the problems that we've seen on a daily basis. But I think just to the under-eating as well, I stress this point in consultations as well, is that weight loss is very different to fat loss. And often a lot of patients will look at the number on the scale to be able to say, okay, well, I'm healthy, I'm on the right track, versus fat loss. And this is very important because your weight is a lot of things combined. It's fluid, it's muscle, it's bones, it's fat, and that is your weight. But that is not really a true representation of body composition. And this is important because females need to know that their body composition is a lot more important than weight. Because I can see, and I always use this analogy, I can see 10 females line up in front of me, and some are going to look super lean and some are not. And that's purely because they've got a really high muscle mass and a lower fat mass compared to others. And so getting on the scale, if you are 70, you can look very different to another female that weighs exactly the same, 70. Yeah. And so understanding body composition becomes really key in trying to get you to where you need to be as well.
I completely agree. And I just wanted to make sure we cover this. We talk a lot about blood sugar balance. And a lot of women think that if I don't eat, then I'm going to have better blood sugar control. Why is that a myth? Because it is 100% a fallacy. Like, you don't keep my control by not eating.
So again, I guess social media. But when it comes to balancing blood glucose, if people think about intermittent fasting, specifically women now over 40, we know that there are many benefits of intermittent fasting. Now, for females, because we're such complex beings, there is so much more that we need to consider when it comes to intermittent fasting. So I do raise the question and I ask, well, can you get to your protein goals, get to your fiber goals, get to your vegetable goals within a certain window? And if the answer is no, then let's go back to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, learning to balance blood glucose is probably one of the most important things to understand when it comes to nutrition, because that can actually mitigate and decrease risk for a lot of conditions. And when I say balancing blood glucose, what I mean is, are you getting in protein at every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Are you getting in a source of fiber at every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And are you getting in your veggies at every meal? Most of the time, it's a no. And that becomes a big practice to be able to get that right, get that formula right at every meal, so that we don't increase our risk for nutrient deficiencies or increase blood sugars, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I still see it often in the older generation. So also with like my mom, they still convinced that if I eat less, you know, or like, skipping breakfast is a flex. And I'm like, no, this is not a flex. It's not something we want to do. You want to have a good breakfast. Maybe just touch on that good breakfast. So I know you're also an advocate about.
So in terms of breakfast, I will say this. A lot of people come to me and say, I don't eat breakfast. And if I am eating breakfast, I'm eating it at 11 a.m. And when I have convinced them to start eating breakfast a little bit earlier, they'll come back to me and say, Kirby, I'm feeling so much better. My energy levels are so much better. And then they obviously continue with that routine. But breakfast it sets you up for the day. If you are not eating enough protein, enough fiber, we are almost certain that we're going to start snacking in the afternoon. And the easiest snack is something processed and high in sugar. And so it really sets you off, or sets you up for the day, what you eat at breakfast.
Yeah. So important. Okay, then I think just to bring everything together, like for the woman listening, maybe who's feeling exhausted, she's feeling bloated, anxious, realizes she's not eating enough, where can she start? What are some of the tips that she can start looking at nutritionally?
I'm going to say, I want to normalize eating enough. So I'm going to say what I said before, focus on eating for energy and function, not for restriction. Make sure that you're having a little meal at breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you can. If anything, you don't even have to get the actual structure or meal correct. You can see a dietitian for that. But eat throughout the day consistently, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe a snack here or there. You would be so shocked to find that your energy is a lot better. Your cravings are a lot less. Your mental clarity is there. So eat those little meals throughout the day, because the only energy you're going to get is from the food you eat, period.
Yeah, thank you, Kirby. I think that was valuable. I'm going to tag you, and everyone can know where to reach you as well for a dietetic consult.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.